This is an excerpt from the book Cashed Out by Michael H. Rubin. Failed lawyer? Damn right I'm a failed lawyer. I've got a failed marriage. I've got 3 maxed out credit cards. I got a broken down office with a mortgage that's underwater. Until 3 weeks ago, I had no clients and no money. Well, no clients except for G.G. Guidry, and he's just been murdered. And no money except for the $4,452,737.17 in cash that G.G. had left with me for safekeeping. Less than 100 hours later, he was dead. His body was found at the industrial plant site of his company, Toxic Waste Processor Camellia Industries, floating in one of the holding ponds in a scummy mixture of petroleum waste, drilling fluid, arsenic, lead, barium, chromium, manganese, mercury, and who knows what all. The police initially thought that G.G. had been overcome by fumes and had fallen in, but when they pulled his body out, the cause of death was clear. G.G. had been shot 3 times, once in the stomach, once in the chest, and once in the forehead. He was dead before someone dumped him in all that muck. Now, how did it all begin? With a knock on my office door that startled me. Now, I hadn't had a client or a visitor in weeks, and no one ever came by on a Sunday. There he was, looking just like he appeared in all the TV newscasts. Big cigar, florid face, mound of swept-back gray hair, houndstooth sports coat stretched over a patterned black-and-white silk shirt. The utter confidence of a huckster stuffed in a rotund casing.
Lawyer Jack Snyder, glad to meet you. I'm G.G. Guidry's son. This is your lucky day. You're just the man I want to hire, and when you hear what I want, you're going to thank me.
He pumped my hand and barged right in. I was more than a little embarrassed that the notoriously successful G.G. Guidry saw how I operated. You see, my office is in my house. It's an old, run-down house. My conference room used to be a living room. Several window panes are cracked. The fireplace hasn't functioned in years, and the wallpaper is peeling away at the corners. Guidry took it all in with a withering glance. I pulled out my legal pad and said, in my best professional voice, "So?" Yeah, that was a little abrupt, I know that. I should have engaged in all the perfunctory pleasantries that normally begin a business meeting. But I had dispensed with all of that long ago. Catch Atkinson, my former boss at the biggest law firm in town, had noted as much in my final annual review. Quote, "Still has the intellectual ability, but now seems to be lacking the requisite people skills." Damn right, after what happened to me there. G.G. stalked around the room, puffing on his big cigar.
"Got a real estate deal and a bunch of corporate work, and I need you to paper it up."
"Real estate and corporate, got it," I said, trying not to salivate. The news had been full of stories about the temporary restraining order that had shut down Camellia Industries. G.G. had been making vast profits there, what with Camellia's, quote, reprocessing of anything and everything from asbestos-tainted materials to petrochemical plant waste, from oil-sheened swamp sludge that was still being scraped up after the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, to used drilling mud from oil rigs and spent fracking fluids. G.G. had been a constant presence in the press, excoriating his opponents and promising to get the plant up, running, and even expanded. Now, how G.G. had gotten to me, I didn't know, and I didn't care. I'd show all the other attorneys in town that I was still a lawyer to be reckoned with, not the failure they thought I had become. It was a few days after G.G. first retained me and I had started working on his projects when I was awakened at 2 a.m. by a banging on my front door. Dressed only in a pair of boxers, I peered through the peephole to see Guidry, in a tuxedo, tie askew, pounding away with his fist. I turned the lock. He dragged something in, slamming the door behind him. With some effort, he slung a mammoth leather suitcase, secured with a thick yellow mesh strap, onto my conference table.
"You're my lawyer, right?"
"Absolutely."
"And what I tell you as a client, you can't tell anyone, right?"
"Right."
"This,"
Guidry said, stroking the leather suitcase,
"is confidential. It's mine. It's my corporation, and it's mine."
"But I thought..."
"Hell, I'm not paying you to think. I'm paying you to do exactly what I tell you to do."
He pointed to the suitcase.
"I want you to keep it here."
"In this house?"
"Of course in this house. If I wanted to put it somewhere else, it'd be there by now. I'm a client, and I'm giving something to my attorney, and you're going to keep this something in your office here, and you're going to give it back to me when I call for it."
Why was Guidry here at this ungodly hour? Why was he asking me to stash a suitcase for him? Guidry saw my look of puzzlement. His hand clenched into a fist, hitting the suitcase with a solid thump.
You live, breathe, work, and just barely exist in this cruddy little building. Don't even think about leaving this house until I call you and I give you instructions. Until then, you keep this goddamn thing safe, understand?
I reluctantly agreed. And that was the last time I saw him alive. And to find out what happens next, you'll have to read the book.